Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. My subject this morning, what the resurrection means for us. What the resurrection means for us. We know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus did rise from the dead. We know he's alive. We know he came out of that grave. The grave could not hold him. And those of us who have been born again, we have experienced resurrection power. Thank God that we have the witness of the Spirit and we know that we're saved. You know, I thought about the Apostle Paul. He was a religious man and he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He gave us about 2/3 of the New Testament. He had all kind of religious credentials. I mean, he was somebody. He was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and touching the law, righteous. He was blameless. This man had some religious credentials. He had studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was somebody. He was religious, but he was lost. He was out killing Christians, and he thought he was doing the right thing. But on the Damascus Road, he had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that forever changed his life. I tell you, when you have an encounter with Jesus, a real encounter, it will really change your life forever. From that moment that he had that experience on the Damascus Road with Jesus, Paul's quest was to know Jesus, which brings me to my text, Philippians 3:7. He said, but what things were gained to me, I counted those things loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung as rubbish. They are nothing, that I may win Christ. And look at this, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And look at this, Philippians 3:10. I love this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Look at that, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. My subject this morning, what the resurrection means for us. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Lord, we thank you that you're speaking, Lord, to us. You created us to be a speaking being, and you speak. You speak to the hearts of men. And, Lord, I ask you to seat us together today in heavenly places, those that do not know you, those who have not been born again of your Spirit. I pray, God, that this message will quicken their hearts, those that are in bondage and slaves to things that are not pleasing to you. I pray this will be a day of liberation. Let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Give us a listening ear. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I realize that this is Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we know that during this week, they would take Jesus and they would crucify him. They crucified him not knowing what it would mean for them and not knowing what it would mean for us. But I want to talk to you about the resurrected Savior this morning, how he came out of that grave. And I want to talk about what it means to each of us individually. You are important to God. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm something. I'm important. I count. Look at him. Say it again. I am somebody. I'm important and I count. You do count. God gave his best gift to save you. Hallelujah. You're important to God and you count. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. What the resurrection means for us. Now, when they reached the tomb on the resurrection morning, the angel said, he is not here. He is risen. Now, Jesus' resurrection is a wonderful truth that the church has proclaimed down through the centuries. He is risen. Hallelujah. And in the book of Acts, they said it over and over again that you crucified him, but God has raised him from the dead. You crucified him, but God has raised him from the dead. And they preached this because Jesus is the first one who ever came out of the grave with a glorified human body. Others were raised from the dead and lived in a mortal body, but Jesus is the only one who ever came out of the grave in a glorified human body. Thank God he came out of that grave. Thank God that he is alive. Thank God that he is the Savior of the world. Thank God we know he's alive because we have an inward voice that says, I'm saved. I've been born again. I've experienced resurrection power. That's why I love to sing that song. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. Say it. He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, some people, they read the Bible and they say, I wish that I could have been there when Jesus was alive. I know you heard people say that. Well, he's not dead. Jesus is alive. And because he lives, we also shall live. And in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you 4 points this morning concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and what his resurrection means to us. Number one, the resurrection of Christ separates him from all other religious leaders. The resurrection of Jesus separates him from all other religious leaders. So many in the religious world, they are proud of their attitude toward Jesus of Nazareth. And they say such nice things about him. They say Mohammed was a great prophet. Confucius was a great prophet. So-and-so was a great prophet. And Jesus was a great prophet. And they say there are so many ways to God. And they say Jesus was a great man. He was a great teacher. But we don't believe that he's the Son of God. And they believe that like all the other religious leaders who walked among the earth, that Jesus was a great teacher and a great prophet. They act like they're giving God a compliment or giving Jesus a compliment when they put him among all the other religious leaders. But my friend, Jesus is more than a religious leader. He never came to establish a religion. He came to give his life and to die for the sins of the whole world. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, was made sin without sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our place. He suffered our death. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he rose victorious, hallelujah, to make us alive. Glory to them. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. So many people say there are many great religions in the world, and there are many ways to God. And so we'll just do what's right. We'll walk in fellowship with other people. We'll do good works, and we'll be all right. And they justify themselves and say Jesus is just one of the great religious leaders in the world. But I want you to notice what God said about his son. And Paul penned these words to the Romans. Look at Romans 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, look at this, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he was saying, I want you to know he's not just some religious leader. He is the Son of the living God. Thank God that he is alive. He's the Messiah for the Jews, but he's the Savior for the whole world. And he is risen. He is the risen, resurrected, ruling monarch, the Lord of glory with all power in heaven and earth. In his name, praise God. And he came to save us from our sin. If you're here today and you're lost in sin, you don't have to be. God speaks and he talks to people and he convicts them of their sin, and then he delivers them from sin. He doesn't deliver us to stay in sin. He delivers us out of sin. You were once in darkness, but now you're children of light. Walk as children of the light. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, for it's a shame to speak of those things that they do in darkness. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Lay down your booze. Lay down that that party crowd you're running with. Lay down that nicotine. Lay down that those old bad habits. Lay that stuff down and let God separate you unto holiness, true holiness in the name of Jesus. Somebody go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Jesus is alive, but men have always doubted him. They doubted him and wondered about him when he was here on earth. He healed the sick, and they wondered about him. He cleansed the leper, and they wondered about him. He opened blinded eyes. He caused the lame to walk. He caused the deaf to hear, and they wondered about him. He raised the dead, and they wondered about that. And they wondered, is he actually the Son of God? And then they took him and they put him on a cross. They nailed him to that cross. They took him off of that cross after he died and they put him in a grave. And they thought, well, that proves that he's not the Son of God. But let me tell you something. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. On that third day, God's eternal spirit kicked down the gates of hell, walked over to where the Son was held in the throes of death, breathed into him the eternal spirit, and up from the grave he arose from the dead in the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Glory to God. God raised him on the third day, and he came out of that grave with a glorified human body. And he said, all power was given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. No, my friends, he is not a religious leader. It is not the religion or the person, that person. It is the person of Jesus Christ who is declared to be the Son of God with power. He is forever separated from all other religious leaders by his resurrection from the dead. They are dead, but he is alive. And he is the Son of the living God. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory. And not only did the resurrection separate him from all other religious leaders, but secondly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ satisfies man's deepest longing for eternal life. Everybody has something in their heart where they long for eternal life. God put that there. Nobody wants to grow old, and when we get old, we do everything we can to look young. Amen. No one wants to be old. We use all types of creams. We color our hair. We try to cover up our wrinkles, and some people even get a facelift. We exercise, and we do everything we can to keep our youth. Why? Why is that? It's because there is a desire in every man's heart to live forever. Think about it. Nobody likes to attend a funeral. Nobody wants to think about the end of their life. Nobody wants to think about their body being old and wrinkled and dying and then put in the grave. Nobody wants to think about that. Death is an enemy. And the Bible declares that, says, the last enemy that shall be defeated is death. And there's a longing in every man's heart for eternal life. Amen. Ponce de Leon, the Spanish explorer, he went all over the world searching for the fountain of youth. But thank God we found it. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's alive. Glory to God. He's alive. And because he lives, we also shall live. Glory to God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Eternal life. Go on and praise him that you've already experienced resurrection power. You see, Jesus didn't come to give us religion. He came to infuse the power of God into our spirit man. Hallelujah. And when you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Peter said it this way concerning the resurrection. Look at 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, or who has given us the new birth, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our inheritance. We have a lively hope. Wouldn't it be great if you woke up tomorrow and you found out that your great-great uncle, who was old and he was rich, he had died and you had inherited $5 million. Wouldn't that be a great inheritance? Oh, what a wonderful thing to hear that you have an inheritance and that somebody has gone and they've left you a great inheritance. And now you're wealthy and you've got a lot of money. Well, Jesus died and he rose again and he left you an inheritance. And look at what the Bible says about that inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. Hallelujah. That inheritance is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It fades not away, and it's got your name on the reservation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God we're born again. Thank God we didn't get religion. Glory to God. We got eternal life. We have him. He has us. Does he have you today? Or did you just come to church and play church? Have you given him everything? Have you cast everything at his feet and say, Lord, I surrender all. Lord, here it is. Here I am. You gave your all. I give you my all. Somebody go and praise him. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. We didn't get religion. We got eternal life. We've been born again. Not only did the resurrection separate Jesus from all other religious leaders, not only did it satisfy man's deepest longing for eternal life, but thirdly, the resurrection settles forever your personal salvation. You don't have to doubt whether God loves you anymore. You don't have to doubt if God has provided for you anymore. When you understand the reality of the resurrection, you realize that God put him here. God let him live. God let him die for your sins, for your sickness, for your curse, for your death. He went down to hell in your place, paid redemption's price in full, stripped the devil of his power, and rose again victorious in Jesus' name. And that, my friend, settles your eternal salvation forever and forever. Somebody praise him. That I was talking to a man recently. You know, there are people that they talk about unconditional eternal salvation. I believe in eternal salvation. I believe I am secured and sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and his denomination preaches that you can't ever lose it. He said, I was reading my Bible. He said, and I just had to come to the conclusion that what I was taught in that seminary, that it wasn't right, that the Bible is right. Hallelujah. He said, and I've had to change my mind. You know, there are some things you just need to change your mind about. If you were taught wrong, if you don't understand that there's salvation and then there's separation unto God, that you can be delivered from your bad habits, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, there's divine healing, that God will supply all your need. If you don't need understand those things, you need to get in a church where the whole gospel is preached, because Jesus is alive and everything he did at Calvary's cross, he did it with you in mind. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. God has provided for you. Look at this. Mark 8:36. But what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me talk to you about your soul. What shall it profit a man or woman if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? You know, some people, they are so busy making a paycheck, seeking to be popular, trying to get the applause of others, and all the things that we do. Some people, they don't have time for their family. They're just pleasure seekers trying to make it to the top. And they're going, and they're going, and they're going. And they think, oh, someday I'll take time for Jesus. Sometimes later. But I don't have time to do it right now. I'll just do it later. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I said that, take time for Jesus. I thought about Woody Bradley, Southeast Asia. He's in combat. And Charlie Pride would come on the radio singing, take time for Jesus. He took time for you. Wood is not saved at the time, but he found his way to Calvary. But God was talking to him. I said, God will talk to you. And Charlie Pride would come on that station over there. And Woody, he asked me one day, he said, will you look that song up and sing it, Take Time for Jesus? He took time for you. So I got my guitar out, and I got the song, and I sang that thing for Woody. I might do it again someday, Brother Woodrow. But what would it do if a man gained his whole world and lost his own soul? What if you own all of New York, all of Los Angeles, all of the United States of America? What if you owned every city in the whole world? And then you stood up and you said, I finally made it. I own the whole world. And then you died and you went down to hell. What would it profit a man, or what would it profit him? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? See, God didn't send an angel with a broken wing to save us. God sent heaven's best to redeem us. And we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Think about it. It was pure blood. It was holy blood. It was God's blood. You were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. All those other men that died, they had corruptible blood. They may have been prophets. They may have been good people, but only Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, had incorruptible blood. A virgin overshadowed Mary. She conceived by the Holy Ghost, and she gave forth birth to God's Son. An angelic messenger announced his birth and said, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Are you saved? Do you know him? Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory, 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 glory. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I've been redeemed. Thank God I belong to him, and all of heaven belongs to us. Because we're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. Hallelujah. When they chose Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus, Pilate said, I wash my hands of him. And then he said, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Every man and every woman needs to answer that question. It's not what will you do with the church. It's not what will you do with the denomination. Some people say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Lutheran, I'm Catholic, I'm Pentecostal. None of that matters in the eyes of God. God wants to know, what have you done with his son, Jesus? You need to realize that every human that is alive, they have Jesus on their hands. You better believe it. Pilate said, I've got Jesus. But they wanted to Barabbas. And so Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, who is the Christ? That's the question. Not what will you do with the preacher? What will you do with the church? What will you do with the denomination? What are you going to do about Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? He died. He was buried. He rose again. And the church is on this earth. He left a church on this earth. And you hear the bells ring, you hear the message of God, you see the signs and the evidence that Jesus Christ has risen and he's alive through people that he has redeemed by their blood. But what are you going to do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? What you do with Jesus, let me tell you something. That will determine what Jesus does with you. Let me say that again. What you do with Jesus, that will determine what Jesus does with you. So why don't you make him Lord of your life? Amen. Why don't you make him Lord of all? Some people, they get in the church and got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Why am I preaching like this morning? Because there's some of you, you're expecting God to do something he's already done. As long as you keep lighting cigarettes and sticking them in your mouth and sucking on them, guess what? You're going to be banned by cigarettes. As long as you take pills, whether they come off the street or whether they come from the doctor, you keep popping them in your mouth, you're going to be a slave to that thing that's driving you. As long as you go to the club and run with the women, men, you're still going to be banned And you'll never have the home and the happiness and the marriage that you could have if you forsook all of that, laid it down, took up your cross and followed Jesus. I'm preaching holiness right now. Glory to God. And I'll just go on and add it while I'm on the subject of it. Any political party that wants to, that's anti-Christ, anti-God, that wants to endorse homosexuality and lesbianism, that wants to kill little babies, that wants to abort them and kill them outside the womb, that's against godly values, separate yourself from that party. This Bible is what means something. Glory to God. We've got all kind of people that are affiliated with the party. The party has shifted. The party has changed. But God has never changed. His word is forever settled in heaven. We need to vote the Bible. And if people don't like this kind of preaching, that's all right with me. Because God didn't call me to be tickle people's fancy. He called me to preach the incorruptible, ever-living, lasting, everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care what the political parties say. I already read the book, and I know what God says. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and I separate myself from anything and everything that's ungodly and of this world. Glory to God. Good fellow, God's fire, God's word, and God's Holy Ghost, His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hallelujah. And the steps and the thoughts and the places a good man goes and his stops, they're ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Let God order you. Hallelujah. People say, well, Jesus, he was just a good religious leader. Listen to me. If he is not the Son of God, he is the biggest liar and the biggest fraud that ever lived. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am a lie. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. So many people, they just don't understand that salvation is a free gift from God. And they try to work their way into heaven. And they say, I belong to this church and I do this and I do that. But no, my friends, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Paul, he was a religious man. He thought he was doing the right thing till he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody will ever stand on heaven's streets of gold and say, look at me. Look at me. I was good. I gave. I lived right. I went to church and I finally made it. No, no, no. No man will ever be able to boast of his own good works and stand in God's presence. Oh, no, my friends, we'll stand there and we'll sing that old song, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Sing it. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. See, it's not by our works, but by His amazing grace that we're saved. And we'll not brag on ourselves when we get to heaven. We'll brag on Jesus. And then the Bible tells us what we must do to be saved. Look at Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead. You see right there, that's the resurrection. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, you shall be saved. You must believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. He is alive and I am forgiven. He is alive and I am saved. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he's alive and I'm saved. My eternal salvation is secure in him. He's alive and he's not just some religious leader. He is my savior. He is my Lord. And that settles forever your personal salvation. Number four, the resurrection of Jesus sets you in the place of authority in this world. Let me say that again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sets you in the place of authority in this world. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1 and 9. Paul said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Look at that. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, toward us, to usward who believe? Shout it. That's me. I'm a believer. Say it. That's me. I'm a believer. Now, he wants you to know the exceeding greatness of his power to the believer. Look at Ephesians 1 and 20. He's talking about that power which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Hallelujah. And every name that's named. He put him above everything and every name that is named. God did it, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Now look at Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Do you see that? So when he was raised far above all principality and power and might, it was for us. Hallelujah. He died in our place. He rose in our place. He ascended in our place. He's seated in heavenly places at the Father's right hand. We are seated there together with him in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go. Go in my name because I give you the authority to use my name. Hallelujah. Time for the church to grow up. You have the authority because Jesus has delegated to you his authority. You have that authority. You may be saying, well, God, why don't you do something for me? God, why don't you get the devil out of my life? Doesn't God know what's going on in my life? God, why don't you do something for me? Listen to me. God has already done everything he's ever done as far as the devil's concerned. The last thing he will do is cast him into the bottomless pit and in the lake of fire. Amen. But he's done everything he's going to do for you. He has when it comes to the devil. You're waiting on God, but let me tell you something. God is waiting on you. And if anybody is going to do anything about the devil, it's going to have to be you. Jesus went into the citadel of darkness, stripped the devil of his power, made a show of him openly, drug him, I believe, through the corridors of hell, making a show of him openly, triumphed over him. Then he snatched the keys of death and hell away from him and the grave. And then he gave those keys to the church. And he said, in my name you shall cast out devils. In my name you shall speak with new tongues. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He has given us the key. When it comes to the devil, you've got to do something about it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I promise you, if you will resist him when that temptation comes, he will flee from you. Don't let the devil make you a doormat and walk all over you. Amen. Don't let the devil lord himself over you. Don't let him keep you on drugs. Don't let him keep you on alcohol. Don't let him break up your home. Don't let him steal your children. Don't let him rob your health. No, rise up in the name of Jesus and say, my Lord is risen. He has all power in heaven and earth, and he has given his power and his authority to me, and I belong to Jesus. I have the keys of the kingdom, and you must bow to that name. Glory to the Lamb. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Everybody hold up your hands, say, hold your hands up and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do it again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God has exalted him, given him a name above every name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That name makes the devil tremble. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the name the devil is afraid of. When God raised him from the dead, he gave him a name above every name. That name is above cancer. That name is above heart disease. That name is above arthritis. That name is above any affliction. It's above mental depression. Glory to God. Don't let the devil depress you. Tell him, praise God, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. I've got his blood. I've got his word. I've got his spirit. I've got his power. I've got his name. I'm somebody. I'm a child of the King whom the Son makes free. Is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed. I got the victory. For whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll have to rise up. And you'll have to say, no! You devil of depression, get out of my mind. No, you demon of sickness and disease, get out of my body. No, you spirit that will try to bind me in chains and unclean habits, I come against you. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. I'm born of God's Spirit. I have His blood. I have His name. I have His word. I have His power. I have His authority. I'm somebody. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. 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 Tell those drugs and that nicotine, no, no, no. Get out of my life. Get out of my body in the name of Jesus. And they will flee from you. Your place of authority is forever settled. And you are who God said you are. And you have what God said you have. And you can do what God said you can do. And we can do all things through Christ. Because Christ is alive. Jesus is alive. And the resurrection, praise God, it ensures all of those things to you. Go on and praise the Lamb. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I got that done before 12 o'clock. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's worship Him for who He is. Let's just thank Him. Let's come to His altar. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. On that holy altar of God, there was a fire burning, a perpetual, eternal fire. That fire represents the Holy Ghost. Get up and come on. Let's talk to our God. Every day the ashes have to be removed. That means, search me, O God. Get that stuff out of my life. Every day, new fuel had to be added to the flame. That's the Holy Ghost, and that's good Holy Ghost preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that fire of the Spirit, that fire belongs to you. Hallelujah. All that Jesus did, you have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It fadeth not away. It is reserved for you. It has your name on it. Say, my name's on that reservation. He has reserved a place for me in heaven. And I'm going to do everything I can to shake off the chains, all the sickness, all the disease, all the worldly things that come my way. And I'm going to take up my cross daily. And I'm going to follow Jesus. And if I follow Him, He said He'll make me. I believe He'll make me a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and prepared for every good work. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Worship Him.
And no one else can touch my heart like You do.
Glory.
And I could search for all eternity.
Hallelujah. That's right. Just surrender it all to the Lord.
There is
I'm not just talking about sickness. Bow at your knees and say, Jesus, I surrender this problem. This thing is so much bigger than me. I surrender this infirmity. I surrender it. These sickness, these heartaches, these diseases. I surrender this depression. It will not hold me. I surrender it. I give it to you, Lord, because my life is in your hand. Hallelujah.
And by there is none like you.
What will I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You don't need to come to the preacher. You just need to come to God's altar. And say, God, it's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord. It's me, Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord. I've decided today. I'm making up my decision what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Look at me.
And find there is none like you. Can you lift your hand?